This is the Freeman Report with James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
It certainly is the Freeman Report, and I am James Freeman. It is Wednesday, the 10th of April, 2024. And if you've just joined me, I've been discussing two incredibly important topics. In the first part of the hour, we talked about water fluoridation. I don't know, I have a particular problem saying that word. I don't know why. But fluoride in our water with Joy Warren from the Fluoride Free Alliance in the UK. I think I'm going to put my research hat on later today and do some more research, because as Joy said, it's not just fluoride we should be worried about. It's all these small particulates of plastic and other stuff in our water as well. And, you know, I used to buy an awful lot of fizzy water in plastic bottles, but then I stopped doing that because, you know, we were filling up wheelie bins literally weekly of plastic, which is not a good thing for the environment. So I do want to use the water supply, but yeah, I'm going to do some research on what further filtration I can do on my water. Then in the second part of the previous hour, I talked to Lucy Marsh about the CAS independent review, which has been published today on gender identity services for children and young people. Lucy's from the Family Education Trust, which is trying to raise awareness of this and lobby politicians. It is an incredibly important topic, this, because lots and lots of children, particularly young girls, as we've seen in the numbers in the CAS report, are suddenly just deciding that lots of young girls deciding that they want to be boys. And I think, you know, it's a real step forward, this review. It really is, for children's services within the NHS. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't talk about all of this normalisation in schools through sex education, celebration of Pride Month and all of this, which kind of normalises transgenderism and trans ideology. And I think that has to stop. That has to stop, because it's clear that since all this started in schools, we've seen the number of kids deciding that they just want to be a different sex and believing that they can be a different sex. It's skyrocketed, and we've got to put a stop to this. So if you have just joined us and you missed the first hour, I definitely recommend watching back. Just head over to tntradio.live later today. It'll be uploaded in a few hours, and click on the episodes button, and there you'll be able to listen back and or watch all of my previous shows. Right, we've got another hour though left on the Freeman Report, so coming up in the next hour, I'll be discussing how to go about breaking high-powered information operations with the president of Silent Partner and award-winning PR strategist Trevor Fitzgibbon. And the imminent terrorist threat in the US following mass immigration at the southern border. And I'll be discussing that with President of Counterpoint Institute for Policy Research and Education, Dr. Shia Bradley. Now, the work that my first guest, Trevor Fitzgibbon, focuses on is defending human rights and whistleblowers and exposing corruption around the world. Trevor secures high profile placements as well for the likes of Joe Rogan, The Wall Street Journal and The Today Show in the US. His clients range from Amnesty International, WikiLeaks, Pearl Jam and the governments, believe it or not, of Venezuela and Ecuador. Trevor's work has also focused on exposing the information operation surrounding the war in the Donbass region of Ukraine. And so I'm delighted that he'll be joining us in a moment to share his thoughts on a range of issues. My second guest this hour is Dr. Shia Bradley. She's an expert in US foreign policy, aid, national security, international development, and women's issues. She is the author of Last Warning to the West, Hungary's Triumph Over Communism and the Woke Agenda, which has back cover reviews by Tucker Carlson and General Mike Flynn, among others. Dr. Bradley has worked directly with the Trump administration, including directly with Secretary Mike Pompeo and senior advisor Ivanka Trump on a range of issues. I've got lots of questions Bashir, including what she thinks about the threat posed to America from the millions of undocumented migrants that have entered the country in the past few years. I'll also be asking what she thinks is behind the attack on Western values and our way of life, and where this attack is coming from. Is this being done by Western establishments trying to stay in control of their populations, or does she think this attack is coming from a foreign entity, namely China? So lots to discuss in today's final hour of the Freeman Report. If you want to get in touch about any of the topics on the show or to suggest a guest, email me at jamesfreeman@tntradio.live. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, get yourself at tntradio.live and click on the chat icon. My name is James Freeman, and this is the Freeman Report for TNT.
Getting straight to the facts.
Enough with the lies. We need facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right, over to our news correspondent for the UK, Gemma Cooper. What have you got for me, Gemma?
Well, there's quite a few headlines doing the rounds that have changed, actually, since the last hour when we last spoke, and I brought some UK news headlines. The Scottish hate crime law, which is now 1 week and one day, no, 2 days old, sorry, excuse me. It's turned out that within the first 7 days of the reports, which came in their thousands, fewer than 4%. Of the reports that came in under the new hate crime law were actually deemed criminal by police. So the official statistics out today show that between the 1st of April and the 7th of April, there were 7,152 reports. 240 of those were actually criminal. Most of them were anonymous and won't get followed up any further. But it does show what many of us warned here on TNT, that this is becoming a big waste of police time and stopping police being out in Scotland actually pursuing real criminals. Also, we talked about the storms and the weather yesterday, didn't we, James? And a huge cleanup operation is underway on the south coast of England, in the southwest, and in Wales after storms Kathleen and Storm Pierrick battered the coasts and inland as well. We saw rivers burst their banks. Big cleanup operation is underway. And still, I haven't found anyone, James, that has used the magic words climate change to blame these storms on yet. People just seem to be accepting them as a spring occurrence. Millions of people in the UK today are saying they still can't afford to pay basic bills as the high cost of living continues to go up in many areas. And also, universities in the UK must be forced to disclose where millions of pounds of donations are coming from. Campaigners made up of academics and some politicians are saying that the UK's top universities are risking academic freedom by taking anonymous donations from countries where academic freedom itself is under threat. And also donations to universities could be a front for money laundering and what's known as reputation laundering by some organisations in other countries.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about that actually in recent years, particularly with regards to China. I think, universities in the UK have been struggling financially. And so they're taking money in from foreign countries and also lots of foreign students as well. And this is having an impact on our campuses. This might give away your age, but when did you go to university? How long ago?
Well, I've said it many times. I'm 52 and a considerable bit. 52, in fact, yeah, I'll be 53 soon. So there we go. So I was at university, I can't remember the dates. I was at 1990, something like that, 91. Right. I can't really remember. So it's such a long ago.
I'm almost the same age as you. I'm 51, but I went to university as a mature student. So I actually went to university a decade after you. And when I was there, I can't imagine what it must be like to go to university these days, because when I was there, you could talk about anything. We did anything. We were quite wild, actually. I went to the University of Liverpool to get my first degree. And I do struggle with the way the universities are going. I mean, some universities are banned, I think, meat from the university. They're actually stopping other students in the canteens. The university faculty has decided to, or voted to, get rid of meat. And also the closing down of debates as well. We've heard lots and lots of stories of that, haven't we, where speakers have been going to university and they've had to cancel them because of the pressure from students. It is, I think it is concerning, isn't it? And now we're talking about actually universities taking money from foreign governments. Is there any indication of, you know, I think we've heard lots of stories of China being implicated in this. What about other countries?
China is the main one. It is. And this story kind of came across my radar when I first started working for TNT about the number of official Chinese companies, Chinese organizations that have given hefty donations to UK universities, including the top ones. You know, we're talking about Durham and Bristol, those kind of ones at Oxford and Cambridge. I'm not quite so sure. I think they have a lot of legacy donors of former students, actually, the Oxford and Cambridge. But these are anonymous donations. And this is what this campaign group made up of academics, professors, and some politicians are saying universities must be much more transparent. It's no good just opening a wing with somebody's money and not saying who the money's come from and saying that they want their privacy. That's not the aim here. They want utmost transparency, where the money's come from, the channels which it went through. There are suspicions of money laundering and reputation laundering. If an organization is giving money with kind of, and here's the organization that gave it, what's the benefit of that? And do they have say over what gets taught in curriculums and in the classrooms? That's really the issue with that they want to drill down. You can't give £500,000 and then tell tutors what they can teach in history lessons, for example, or what to leave out in history lessons. So that's where people are worried that this is actually going or has gone already, and we need to claw academic freedom back, especially if the donations are coming from countries where academic freedom has already gone away, and that you can't have the same thing happen in the UK. You can't buy your way into censorship, or can you? That's the argument here.
Well, I think you can. that's what the worry is, isn't it? I mean, Gemma, just quickly, because we've got to go to the break, but do you think if you were a youngster today, do you think you'd be looking to go to university still?
It's so difficult because when you're young, you don't even know your own mind, do you? And you just kind of blindly trot off and follow some kind of hidden script that your parents and society are giving you at that point in time in history. Personally, myself, if I had my time again, I would have got a trade, but then I wouldn't be here at TNT, which is absolutely brilliant. And I'm loving it. So I am following through on my training that I did after university, but I could have become a journalist without going to university. Interestingly, I couldn't have got into the BBC without going to university. They were very, very strict then. You had to have gone. Now they've completely changed and said, oh no, anyone's welcome to the Beeb. Trouble is now nobody wants to work there. It's a bit too little too late, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I never did journalism at university, and I just ended up here on TNT. But I think my message, you know, when I'm speaking to my son, you know, he's 15 now, so it's not long. I mean, he won't have to decide whether he wants to go to university for a couple of years yet, but I'm encouraging him to look at all options, you know, maybe getting a trade or whatever, because, you know, it's not just the state of universities and then I don't think they're the kind of institutions that they once were, but also the fact that you come out these days, don't you, with £50,000 plus of debt, which is essentially a higher rate of tax that you'll get charged for the rest of your life, because, you know, you just end up paying it off over years and years and years. So anyway, we've got to go for a break, but thank you for that story, Gemma, and look forward to speaking with you again tomorrow. Right, to the rest of you, don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a second after this short break right here on TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's news talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. If you're still wearing a cloth or surgical mask around in public, you're guilty of spreading COVID misinformation. It really is that simple. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right. Now, I've really been looking forward to this next conversation we're going to have. My next guest is Trevor Fitzgibbon. He is the president of Silent Partner and an award-winning strategist. Hello and welcome to the Freeman Report, Trevor.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. You've got a really, really interesting, I was just saying during the break, you've got a really, really interesting bio. I guess my first question to you is, how do you go about breaking high-powered information operations?
Basically exposing them, who's responsible, where the funding's coming from, which government entities are perpetrating them, and colluding with big tech in the media. And actually one of your own, George Ilyasin, who has had a show in the past on TNT, he's a US war correspondent that's based in the Donbass, and I've known him for a few years. He, myself, some other folks that are much more well respected than myself, that are kind of elite journalists, decided to put together a new news website called Intelligencer.today, and it's dedicated to exposing information operations, many of which originated in Ukraine, such as the Russian hacking information operation, as well as what we're seeing right now, what we've seen for the past few years with the information operation regarding Ukraine and Russia. So it's fun. It's incredible. The money and wealth behind these information operations and the power is overwhelming. Yet at the same time, you know, information operations only last until they hit reality. And when reality sets in, such as it has in Ukraine, that's when people can really start to see what's happening.
So you're one of them, I guess, or you support and you help those real journalists that, I mean, I kind of call myself a journalist, but all I really do is analyze what you guys reveal. So you're the kind of people that presumably you leak these files like Panama Papers, that kind of thing. And you do the real legwork in terms of getting this information out. Now, Trevor, obviously, in recent years, I think the big story with journalism, this type of journalism, has been Julian Assange. What kind of impact do you think that has had on the journalists you work with? Because, you know, they're revealing the secrets rich and powerful people do not want revealed.
Yeah, I think that it's interesting. I think that the state of journalism has and what it means to be a journalist today has changed dramatically, and the state of journalism has changed dramatically in the Trump era. So a lot of the true investigative journalism that we used to see in the past is no longer happening, and it's a real problem. The media has gotten quite lazy. And rather than engage in substantive investigative journalism, anything that strays from kind of the DNC corporate globalist message pertaining to issue after issue is deemed as like MAGA or supporting Donald Trump, which just isn't the case at all. There are plenty of critics out there of U.S. foreign policy that reject Trump, reject MAGA, yet don't align at all with the Biden administration's foreign policy, such as Ukraine or such as COVID, et cetera. But the media likes to be lazy and kind of just ignore that. And they like to compartmentalize and group us all together. And that can be a problem. And I think they've turned their back. Many of them are just ignorant. Many of them would rather get into kind of the cliques and the games in with the elites, with the elite media in the United States and around the world. But unfortunately, I think at the same time, there are some prominent editorial writers at the New York Times, the Washington Post, and prominent publishers that are very nervous, because I think they recognize that if the U.S. government can prosecute a foreign publisher for publishing factual documents, then no journalist is safe in the United States or around the world.
And, you know, what we've seen in recent years, and I think, you know, and long may it live, this move towards new media, as we call it, away from what we call the legacy media, which is obviously the mainstream media. What problems does that present for journalists like yourself? Because, you know, it's all very well saying, well, it's not about money. People don't do it for that. They want to get the truth out. But people have got to pay the bills, haven't they? And you know, this is where I see the problem. How is that transition going? Are there new models coming through that can support journalists for doing this?
Yeah, there really are. And there's a transition happening right now. It'll take a few years to really solidify or evolve. But, you know, for example, I was talking to a buddy last night who used to actually be employed by the Jimmy Kimmel show, the late night show in the United States. And one of the things he was saying is that, you know, these guys are barely getting an audience anymore. You know, Tucker Carlson or Glenn Greenwald or TNT, you know, independent journalists right now are creating the new economic model for journalism in the future. And the legacy media that are dominated by many of the special interests that we're working to hold accountable, such as Big Pharma, right? A lot of those, that legacy media, their audience is dwindling. And as they dwindle, that's great because more people are turning to podcasts and TNT and independent journalists like Kim Iverson, who's phenomenal, or George Eliason, you know, at Intelligencer.today, getting their news from these other sites that are sourced, that they don't have to worry about whether or not they're bankrolled by Big Pharma or the defense industry. These are independent journalists. And I actually think it's going to evolve. It's a battle. They don't want to give up easily, but they're dying. It's a dying breed right now. Yeah. I'd be very surprised unless Trump wins. If Trump wins, I think the legacy media will get another injection of funds, right? And that's when it, you know, when you've got Trump in office, just like when we had George Bush in office, and a lot of like the legacy media started to do well. That's when a lot of the progressive liberal organizations were being bankrolled because there's a big boogeyman. But if Trump doesn't win, and let's say it's RFK Jr., or let's say, you know, if Biden wins, et cetera, I think a lot of that type of legacy media is going to start to die.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but I guess listening to you talk there, you know, because I mean, the whole face of journalism, I think, is changing. A lot of it is more op-ed, I think, than anything else.
Right.
Where is I guess in terms of the training, because it, you know, they are being an investigative journalist, a proper investigative journalist. There are skills. I mean, I wouldn't know where to start. I have to put my hand up. You know, that's not kind of, I didn't do journalism at university. And I guess that was kind of one of the questions I want to ask is, you know, a university, what is the state of educating journalists and in universities? And, you know, if we're moving to this model of independent journalism and new media, where are the journalists of tomorrow, the real journalists that do the, you know, the real digging around and the proper investigative work? Where are they coming from? Where will they come from in this new model?
The public. You know, there are brilliant people out there that aren't formally trained, but they're dedicated to getting to the truth, getting to the facts, sourcing their stories and getting it out there. You know, as I said earlier, the state of journalism is a catastrophe right now in the United States and in many parts around the world. And I think that is just because of, you know, Donald Trump and not necessarily, well, what he stands for or what people pretend he stands for, as well as his tactics. You know, we've never had a president come in and tweet the way Donald Trump did, totally upended the whole process. So the White House press corps, they've never seen anything like this. And so Trump kind of upended everything. And because of that, objectivity was thrown out the window when it comes to legacy media. And that's a real problem because what we see are scandal after scandal, whether it's the Hunter Biden laptop, whether it's COVID and the number of vaccine injured, who are actually very injured. There's the legacy media can't get away with what they used to. And this is thanks to a lot of citizen journalists out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. Trump did have a very, very big impact. I mean, some of them was press conferences. Oh my God. They didn't know what to do with him, did they? And I think in many respects, they still don't know how to handle Trump. But I think they're pleased that if they get Trump back, because Biden, I mean, number one, he doesn't talk to the press that often. But when he does, he's I think the biggest story is usually about how he mumbled his words or he wandered off stage here. There is nothing to report, is there?
Well, it's great for the legacy media because they're lazy and they don't have to do anything, right? It's like, you know, he's not engaged. I mean, he's not running the White House. I clearly believe that he's not truly in charge. I think that's the old Obama team, of which I used to work in 2008, you know?
Right. Okay. And hold your thoughts there, Trevor, because we're going to take a quick break now. When we come back, I'd like to get your assessment on where you think we are with the election this year. We spend a lot of time on this show talking about Biden and Trump, but I'd like to hear your views on RFK as well and what prospects you think he's got in this year's presidential election. So don't go anywhere, Trevor. Stay right here with us right here on TNT.
And here's the news.
Extra, extra. TNT Radio News.
This is Jason Olborn with your news headlines. The Turkish government has imposed export restrictions on Israel, covering 54 product categories in response to the Gaza war. More than 100 people have died on a capsized ferry escaping a cholera outbreak off Mozambique. A CIA and former FBI official has admitted in an undercover recording that the FBI can jail anyone. Gold and silver prices continue to enthrall investors, with gold breaking another peak at US $2,356.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa. Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Right. So, Trevor, you just said that you worked for the Obama administration. I know that you follow politics very closely. Give us your assessment on where you think we are with this year's election.
I will, but just to clarify, I didn't work for the administration. I worked for the campaign in 2008, and just in the primary, I was a communications director for a state, which we lost. So that tells you my ability. It was close, but we grew up against Hillary. It was really close. At any rate, again, you know, the media is really kind of behind the eight ball right now, because there's a real wild card, and that's RFK Jr. In regards to this race. I mean, the DNC, the Democrats are unhinged. You know, they are in panic mode right now. They are filing lawsuit after lawsuit, trying to on ballot access, trying to deny the rights of voters to be able to pick which candidate they want, if they want a third party independent candidate like RFK. So the DNC is engaged in all sorts of lawfare when it comes to challenging Kennedy and challenging third party candidates, but primarily it's about RFK Jr. They're running hit pieces, smear pieces. I mean, this is the first time that the DNC has publicly admitted that they have gone out and hired a team, an entire team dedicated to trying to destroy Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So it's quite shocking. RFK Jr. wouldn't be running as an independent, as a third party, had the DNC and the Biden campaign not shut out independents. I mean, they wouldn't allow for RFK Jr. to debate Joe Biden, right? They wouldn't allow for a real primary. They rigged the entire system against Biden, or against RFK, and that's why he left and became an independent. right now in the battleground states, you know, depending what poll you're looking at, but when you look at the average, like, you know, Georgia, Arizona, Michigan, a lot of these states is doing extraordinarily well, especially with people under 45. Right now, just for example, in Arizona, the latest poll is RFK Jr. is at 26% in a three-way race with Trump and with Biden. Okay. You have to remember, the last election, Biden beat Trump by less than a half a percentage point in Arizona and also in Georgia. So the fact that we're, you know, that RFK Jr. has enough signatures to get on the ballot now in both of those states poses an incredible problem for Joe Biden, because it means that RFK Jr. is clearly impacting the race. And when it comes to election day, I think we're going to see RFK Jr. surprise everyone. I think that if we can get him on the debate stage, I think that will be pivotal. I don't know if the Biden campaign will even allow Biden to debate anybody. I don't know if he physically can debate, right? And so it's you know, what ends up happening is on election day, you need a certain amount of electoral votes in the Electoral College in order to claim the presidency. I think it's like 250, 255. Right now, if the election were held today, based on the polling that's out there, and this is mainstream polling, Democrat, Republican, mainstream polling, RFK Jr. would block both Trump and Biden from having enough electoral votes to outright win the presidency. Now, if that, you know, historically, when we get closer to the election, a lot of those voters who say they're going to vote third party get nervous and they go back and they vote for their old tribes. I think RFK Jr. is different. I think a lot of the people supporting RFK Jr. are really supporting RFK Jr. and they're doing it for a reason, because they reject. I mean, we've never had a situation where you have the Republican and the Democrat unpopular. You know, you have the majority of the country do not want to see another rematch of Biden and Trump. So if they don't receive enough electoral votes to outright win, it becomes what they call a contingent election. And then it goes to the House, U.S. House of Representatives, representing all the states. And each state then votes, the congressional delegation then votes on who they choose to be the next president. And then you're in a weird dynamic, right? Because there's a lot of anti-Trumpers in the Republican, in the U.S. House of Representatives. There's some Democrats that are anti-Biden. Could RFK Jr. be that happy medium where they start to gravitate to in order to swipe the party, the opposition party, from being able to outright win? It's going to be really fascinating to see how this plays out, but it's going to be a roller coaster, that's for sure.
Yeah. I think I knew it was going to be a roller coaster this year, but this is fascinating stuff that I'm learning. I'm not an expert on the US Constitution, how the elections work. First question, though, is what do you think Americans make of the fact of all of this lawfare that is going on? The fact that the Biden administration admitted that they've got a team, that its total responsibility is for attacking RFK. What do Americans, I mean, in the UK here, people, I think, wouldn't accept it.
Well, okay. We've never been at a point in history as we are right now where we have the vast majority of the public, the citizenry in the United States, does not trust the media. They do not trust the legacy media. They reject it. They don't trust Congress. They don't trust the White House. They know they're being lied to. And I think that they have heard the blacklisting and the smears on RFK Jr. for so long. They know something's up and they don't trust it. And so it's interesting, as the smears have come, as the lawsuits have come, all we've seen is RFK Jr. getting more and more traction and gaining more and more popularity. One really critical number to point out is that RFK Jr. in every single poll, RFK Jr. Is far and away has the highest positives. In other words, his likability is far beyond that of Trump and also of Biden. And so when they attack him, it doesn't work. with those independents. I mean, independents are now the largest party in the United States. That's the largest voting demographic. And it's growing because people are rejecting the partisanship. They want somebody to unite the country and move forward. And that's what RFK Jr. is doing.
Yeah, fascinating stuff this, Trevor. You're going to have to come back on the Freeman Report as the year goes on to talk about how things are progressing. We have nearly run out of time, though. But my final question is, how is RFK doing money-wise? Because, you know, American in the UK, we have lots of limits on what politicians can spend on elections. You don't have that in the US. So money is really important. How is he doing in terms of donations?
He's doing quite well, extraordinarily well. I mean, and he's getting it from both sides of the aisle. A lot of conservatives, a lot of liberals, disaffected liberals, such as myself. Just look at his vice presidential choice, Nicole Shanahan. She had bankrolled, she had given millions to the Biden campaign, and then she just rejected it. She said, this is not the party that I once knew. And now she's the vice presidential nominee.
Fantastic, Trevor. I'm going to let you answer that call because it's probably RFK saying thank you
for the
promotion there. That's all right. No worries. But listen, please come back on the Freeman Report again this year. I think you've really given me some food for thought there in terms of what's going to happen this year. So Trevor Fitzgibbon, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much, Trevor.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care.
Right. Okay. We're going to take a short break now. And when we come back, I'm going to have Dr. Shia Bradley on the show with me. She is the president of Counterpoint Institute for Policy Research and Education. She's a foreign policy expert, and I've got lots of questions for her, including what is the terror threat at the moment because of all those undocumented people that have come across the border. But I've got lots of questions for her. So don't go anywhere. Stay with me, James Freeman, right here on TNT.
Anticipate potential delays for the morning commute. In other news, a recent government report on prescription drug pricing points to corporate
Freedom of the press is about your right to know.
What are you talking about, man? Look at his stats. Mark sheer
athleticism. It's about your right to be informed. Your right to access all types of information keeps us free as a nation.
No.
Today, there are real threats to press freedom.
Reaching residential areas by...
And your right to know about the world around us.
Look.
Some threats are obvious, some are easy to miss, but they all put our way of life at risk. We must defend against all of these threats, no matter what kind of news is important to you.
Justified putting American troops in harm's way.
That's a great question.
We must protect our right to know before it's too late. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
The challenges our planet's animals are facing sometimes feel a bit heavy.
The animals haven't eaten in a day, 2 days. They haven't drank anything. They're cold, they're dehydrated.
But remember, there's good happening right now. At home.
All right, we were able to get into your unit and we have all four of your cats. So,
okay. And around the world for any animal, any disaster. Search ifa.org/disaster ready.
This is the Freeman Report on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Right, welcome to the Freeman Report, Dr. Shay Bradley. Hello, how are you doing today?
Hi, Jameson. Thanks so much for having me on. Doing great in DC. It's actually a beautiful day here.
Oh, it's not so nice here, I'm not going to start talking about the weather. It's far too British thing to be talking about, isn't it? It's not very nice here, so I don't want to talk about that anyway. Shay, tell us about your book, Last Warning to the West, Hungary's Triumph Over Communism and the Woke Agenda.
Yeah, I went to Hungary to do research on, you know, why they were holding so fast to their national sovereignty to push back against the EU, because they're this tiny country, and yet they have been catapulted to the world stage. You know, the leftists hate them from the EU and the US. The conservatives around the world embrace them. But what happened is people kept telling me the rhetoric coming out of the US reminded them of the Soviet era. And so I walked the history back, and I found out that that's extremely true.
Right. Okay. So what kind of things, I mean, the book itself is obviously a story about, or not story, but a documentation about what's actually go on. What kind of detail do you go into in the book? What does it talk about?
Well, if you go back to the Bolshevik Revolution in the early 1900s, you know, they were already doing things like trumpeting abortion, legalized abortion as healthcare, trying to push that off. They were already working on diminishing parental rights. And certainly we see that with the transgender movement all over the world. They were dividing people. You know, now we're dividing people along race and gender, but they were dividing people mainly among classes. And James, I put in the 11 communist psychological warfare points that our Department of Defense actually published in 1959. Every one of them applies to the U.S. today, in many ways to the European Union as well. One, for example, like for the U.S., is using a crisis to gain control. That's certainly what the Biden administration did during COVID in the United States.
This is pretty interesting, isn't it? Because we've heard of all the witch hunts that went on in America in the 50s, and now we're finding actually that all the things that Americans were worried about, we're actually seeing their own government putting on them. Now, the other sort of, I guess, parallel between what's going on in Hungary and in the US is Hungary has been very, very adamant that it's not going to take any migrants in. It's not going to take all this influx of Africans, North Africans, that the EU is trying to push. America, on the other hand, has obviously opened its borders at the southern border. And we now learn that the Biden administration is even going to start flying migrants in to save them the hassle of walking across the border. What's going on? Because it's just absolutely bonkers from where we're sitting in the UK.
Oh, it's absolute bonkers from where I'm sitting. And we have intelligence experts saying that we're going to have another Moscow attack, except in the United States and perhaps in some of our allies like you guys. But we have had over 70,000 special interest aliens come across our borders just since Biden took office. These are from countries, you know, that harbor terrorists, that promote terrorism, like Iran, Syria, Afghanistan. We had 6,300 from Afghanistan come across illegally just in the past 3 years. These are the ones that we know about. I wrote an article recently, James, about the Chinese illegals, the nationals that have come here illegally coming across our borders. I did the deep dive, the numbers on it. It's over 113,000. And China is certainly our adversary. And I just have to ask the question, how many are here to tamper with our infrastructure or to lay out some plan before Chinese invades the US or Taiwan? It's a serious question, I think.
Yeah. Now, this is a question that's come up in the UK in the past few years, because we've had our own problems with terrorism. Obviously, we had the 7/7 attacks in London, but we've also had soldiers being killed on the streets as well. And one of the things that we've learned from that is our intelligence services, they are so stretched, they literally do not have the resources to track all of these people. What's the situation in the US? Is the government saying that it's got the resources to track all of these people?
No, we don't know who's here. Most of them are unvetted. They're unknown. Our Border Patrol generally spends about an hour and a half interviewing people that come across the border that they apprehend or come through the port of entry. Right now, they're down to under 5 minutes. So you think that's enough time to find out who somebody is? You know, once we do fingerprints over here, we don't have data from other countries that shows whether or not somebody's a criminal. So unless they have a record in the U.S., we don't know. And James, actually, you hit on an important point. The Biden administration doesn't care, because he could have closed our borders under the presidential authority he has under the Immigration and Nationality Act, and he will not do it. I have come to the decision that it is because they want to skew the vote. And also, I think he's hell-bent on destroying our country. I mean, I hate to say that, but I've come to that point.
Yeah, it does seem odd, doesn't it? Because I think immigration and the economy are the two big topics that Americans most focus on, certainly at the moment anyway. Obviously, we've got quite a bit of time left until the election, and who knows what could happen in terms of the way that the world is at the moment. But immigration is definitely up there. So it does seem odd, doesn't it, that the Biden administration is risking everything by allowing all of these people to come into the country. Now, you know, we've got the election in November. We might see Biden kicked out. We might see Trump get in. What do you think Trump can do about all the people that are already in America? Because, you know, I think if, you know, if you count them up over the last sort of 3-4 years, we're talking about an awful lot of people. What is Trump saying about what he's going to do about all of this? Is he going to deport people or?
Yeah, I believe that he's been clear that he will do that. I realize that's a huge undertaking, but at this point, we have to use, like, you know, we can do it across multiple agencies in the government to do so. We have to send the message to people that our borders are closed. And along those lines, he's going to put back in place Remain in Mexico, which keeps people below the border while we're processing asylum claims. He's going to start building a wall. I mean, James, the main thing is the world has to understand, as a deterrent for coming here, that there are going to be consequences for coming. You will be deported. You will be stopped. Yeah. Problem now is that there are absolutely no consequences.
And why do you think, like, because I think, you know, accepting the fact that it's not really an election winner to keep the border open, to fly immigrants into the country, right? So I think you can only logically conclude that, like you said, I think the Biden administration is trying to damage America as a country. Why do you think that is happening? What is behind this?
You know, I've asked myself that question many times, and I have been down to the border several times during Biden's presidency, and it's chaos. So I'm talking from a heart of anger, to tell you the truth about it, because it's not only bad for America, but there are record numbers of illegal immigrants dying coming across our borders because they have to collaborate with a cartel. That's another show. But I, you know, I have to ask myself that over and over. And I just assume that Biden, his administration is part of a bigger liberal, leftist, progressive strategy to skew the votes. And truly, they, you know, they are aligned with Marxist ideology. And Marxist ideology, I learned when I wrote my book, is very much their goal is to destroy Western civilization. And that used to sound like conspiracy theory to me, James, until I've lived it here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, exactly. And I've asked this question. I haven't got the answers, by the way. But, you know, I think two things which I've considered are, one, is this about the establishment in the West trying to keep control of their populations? Because, of course, like you said, you know, one of the ways the European Union was actually created, it was created through crisis, economic crisis for the European Union, because every time there's a crisis, the solution is always more centralized power. So is this just an attempt to create absolute chaos so that more power can be centralized, freedoms taken away from people and the population kept in check? Or the other option, which I've considered, like I said, I don't have the answers, but is this China? Because some of the things that have happened with Biden over the last 4 years is just absolutely bizarre. Like, I've seen press conferences in the Oval Office where Biden has started going off script, and suddenly everyone around him, all of his, you know, the assistants and the, you know, officers or whatever, the administration, they jump up and stop everything, kick the press out. And it just becomes apparent that Biden is not running the country. So who is? Is it Obama? Or, you know, has America been captured?
My opinion is that it's Obama running the country, and he's pulling the And where this became very clear to me is about a month or two ago, I was going over the last platform for the Republican Party that we had in 2020, which was actually the same one from 2016. And the things that they wanted to change after the Obama administration, what we were fighting, are exactly what we're fighting now, except on steroids. And I'm talking about even stuff like this social experiment with our military, weird stuff that's keeping us from actually protecting our country. So it was very clear to me, yes, that's my personal opinion that it's Obama running it. And I do believe it has Marxist threads, like you were mentioning, using a crisis to gain control.
Yeah. Yeah, it does seem to be a common strategy that's being used. And it's a very successful one. I guess that's the reason why it's being used. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, because you're as well as being a foreign policy expert, you also have a lot of expertise on NGOs and international development. And I know people that work in or used to work in international development. And it seems to me, from what I've learned, that it's all just a front, or a lot of it is just a front for pushing this Agenda 2030 with the UN, and a lot of the attacks which are coming on Western civilization are very, very similar to the attacks that you were talking about the Biden administration doing on America. Who is funding these NGOs?
Well, the United Nations, of course, the Biden administration. Trump actually cut funding to a lot of the NGOs that were pushing a very so-called progressive agenda. Biden went back and funded them, UNRWA, right? So we've been defunding UNRWA. Well, guess what? Trump had already defunded it. And I worked in international development in the Middle East and in Africa before coming to work in D.C., and you know what? I was helping women in very poor countries, mainly develop businesses, and they had no idea until NGOs tell them that they need abortion access, that their children need to be taught about transgenderism. These are the things that our State Department has been pushing. And yes, there are multiple worldwide international organizations doing the same thing.
Yeah, it is very worrying. And I guess, if Trump gets in, I think, this is going to be a yo-yo, game of yo-yo, isn't it? Because, of course, he took America out of the WHO because of all the problems that it's got. It took him out of the Paris Accord. Biden have just put them back again. Presumably, Trump's going to do the same again when he gets back in, which does make this election this year very, very important, I think, for America. What's your assessment of where we are with the election at the moment?
Well, again, this is on my personal opinion, but I do believe that Trump is going to win. I think that we Americans are fed up with the fact, parents have a say in their children's education, whether or not a girl goes into a bathroom with a boy who's acting as a girl. This is crazy stuff. I mean, we've really lost our foundation. And I think Americans are fed up. I know I sure am.
And what about RFK? I've just had a guest on before you who was talking, actually, RFK is going to be really important. He's going to do a lot of damage to the Biden campaign. I don't know. I've heard that he's also going to take votes from Trump. What are your thoughts on RFK?
Well, I like him, right? I don't agree with him on everything, but he's a sane person, and he stood up for what is truth, in the COVID situation. The Biden administration, I think, is keeping him down. They wouldn't let him debate, of course. Biden can't debate him. They wouldn't give him security. If anybody needs security, it's a Kennedy, right? So I hope in the interest of democracy, he does get a chance. But, maybe he'll take votes from Trump. I'm not so sure. I think people are really clued in on Trump because they think that he is the man for the job. I mean, a lot of people get mad at his mean tweets, but I'm ready for a mean tweet right now in a world that is more stable, less war, closed borders, economy better. Give me a mean tweet, okay? Or X, a post.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the other thing about Trump, whether you like him or loathe him, he is a spanner in the works. He's not part of the globalist club. He is a spanner in their agenda. agenda. So bring him on. That's what I say. Finally, Shay, I asked this of an awful lot of my US guests. We've got the Democratic convention coming up in August. Do you think they're really going to put Biden up, given his performance recently?
You know, James, I keep thinking they're going to ask him to step down, especially after we have the special counsel report that said his memory was failing at the very least. But they keep propping him back up. So, yeah, I think so. I think, you know, they pull strings on him very well. And it's really a travesty, right, that his wife, knowing something's wrong with him, would allow that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Shay Bradley, thank you for coming on the Freeman Report. You'll have to come back on again. I hope you have a great day. To the rest of you, don't go anywhere. We've got more great shows coming up for you right here on TNT.